Good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. Oh, actually, Chodesh Tov. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei as we prepare to usher in Chodesh Adar Sheni. It should be Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. Should truly be a man of Simcha for all of Kal Yisrael. Halavai. Lidoi Nishmasa. Nazeich Nishmasa. Miriam Frun. Miriam Baschai Mitzchak Allah HaHasham. And Hashem should have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. Amen v'amen. We are on page 157 of the second Sefer. Please open it up. Here we go. So what we're talking about is Yerush Weissmein. Already, you want to say something? You want to share? Okay, because I didn't say anything
yet. Happy to be sitting with my tea and listening. I'll try to stay awake.
Okay, so I thought you were thinking about something related to Shir. I didn't say anything yet. Okay, so we are talking about fear. It's really not such a good word. Well, I guess it is a good word. In terms of fear of Gehenim, fear of sin, fear of physical suffering, those are appropriate words. When we talk about Yerush Shamayim, it's more appropriate to say reverence. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Reverence of God or awe of God, and not so much fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But there are different levels of fear, and this is what we are talking about. We had very interesting learning, I think, I hope, interesting Shir last week based a lot on Rav Salvechik on his passage related to Kayin. And what are we really afraid of? Are we afraid of the consequence of sin? I'm just recapping on Raga Achas. Am I afraid of what's going to happen to me? Am I afraid I'm going to lose my job? Am I afraid I'm going to end a relationship, Chas V'Shalom, that I really value, but by accident I spoke Lashon Hara? Am I afraid I'm going to be embarrassed? Am I afraid I'm going to lose money? Am I afraid of my reputation? Or am I just afraid of Hashem because Hashem said, don't do this, and I did it? And we had a very compelling exploration last time of what exactly is the source of our fear. Keeping in mind, we did say, halavai, we should just be afraid of sin so that we don't sin. At least that is some high degree, just to be afraid of the sin and prevents you from sin. But clearly a higher degree of fearing the consequence, which is, like we said last week, fear of my own self, is having reverence and awe for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore I do not sin because the Almighty said, don't do this. Okay, so that is a brief recap of what we spoke about last time. So we are on page 157. Let's go. We finished last time talking about honor, kavod. We quoted the Radak, took a pito gimma of Tehillim, that honor and kavod is the soul, the neshama. Okay, the second level of yira involves a fear that one will experience shame when he passes away from this world and reaches Gan Eden. So this is still not fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam per se. It's still fear for who?
For yourself.
Myself. Hmm. But what will happen to me in the next world? And that's going to be a gehaktatzur situation. When we think about that, it's quite very scary. And in fact, Chazal say about Yosef and the brothers, when he reveals himself, Elo yachlu achav la'anos oso ki nivhalu mipanav, the brothers mamish cannot talk. Medrash Tanchuma says, it's a lesson for us. If they couldn't talk before Yosef the Basar Adam because they realized how great their shame was, look what we did. We did this to our brother. We sent him away. He's in a place of tumah and impurity. He's been separated from his family. How could we have done this? And the Chazal say, Oy lanu l'yom hadin, oy lanu l'yom tochacha. If that is the brother's reaction, that they simply have nothing to say, oy lanu l'yom hadin, woe unto us for the day of judgment. Woe unto us for the day of rebuke. What will we say? So this is when we pass away from this world and we reach Gan Eden. We're still going to be embarrassed. But who is the shame that we're worried about? Bring shame to ourselves. Not to the name of Hashem, just ourselves. This is what Chazal was speaking about when they said, and the footnote tells you it's from Maseches Bava Brasra, each person will be singed, consumed with jealousy when he compares his canopy with his fellows. So let us see what the Gemara says inside about this. I'm going to, 1 second, open up Maseches Bava Basra and tell you, yes.
Yes, it is yourself, but it's also Hashem, because I'm embarrassed in front of Hashem. I'm embarrassed. He creates me, and he expects such great things.
So Shani answered that last week, and Shani said it's still about you. But the truth is, I understand that what you're saying is correct about it. When you think of somebody you love and you disappoint the person you love, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a best friend, whether it's a mother, whether it's a child, whether it's a sibling, you disappoint them by doing something wrong. The truth is, because you love that person or you have a deep connection with them, there's different kinds of loves, obviously. You don't love your friend the way you love your immediate family member, but you still can have love for a friend. So if you do something wrong, why is part of the reason why you feel embarrassed in front of that person? Because you really did disappoint that person. And you're ashamed with the fact that, how could I have done that to somebody else? So yes, it is about Hashem. And the truth will be so apparent It's going to be very bad. It's frightening. Okay, let me quote the Gemara. It's very frightening. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Why am I quoting this? Because I'm quoting the Gemara that the Mechaber, that our author, just quoted. Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'aso sheva chupos l'chol tzadik v'tzadik. Asid, atid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'aso sheva chupos l'chol tzadik v'tzadik. In the future, talking about in the eternal world of truth, God will make, what's a chupa? Chupa? How do you translate it? A canopy. Bridal canopy. God will make seven canopies for each and every tzaddik. And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Ubara Hashem al kol machon. Hashem will create over the whole site of Har Tzion, va'al mikra, and over its assemblies, anan yamam, a cloud by day, va'ashan, and smoke, v'noga esh, and the light of a flaming fire by night, ki al kol kavod chupa, over every glory there shall be a canopy. This is a pasuk from Yeshayahu, and the footnote, the art scroll footnote says, what are the seven canopies? Ready? The Gemara just said, quoting a pasuk from Mishael, Perak Dalet Pasuk Hey, that in the future every tzaddik and tzaddik will have a chupa over, so I don't know what it's going to look like up there where the neshamas are, but whatever your portion is, so there's a canopy. What are the seven canopies? Anan, cloud, Ashan, smoke, Noga, light, Esh, fire, Lahava, flame, Kol Kavod, every honor, which refers to the glory of God, the divine presence will rest over each person. 1 second. And Chupa, canopy, what?
That's like Har Sinai.
It's like Har Sinai? Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, same thing.
Beautiful.
Right? I mean, very
nice. There's nothing that one is preparing. Very, very nice. So perhaps our canopy will reflect how much our Deveikus was to Torah. How much of Nasa Venishma we really sacrificed for. That's very, very nice. Malki just added something beautiful. When I quote, this isn't my own insight at all. This has nothing to do with me. I'm quoting from the Gemara, Maseches Bava Basra, with the footnote in art school that expounds a pasuk in Yeshayahu. But Malki noted that this sounds a lot like the goings on at Har Sinai, which was a chuppah.
Right.
Anan, cloud. Hashem's Anan descended onto the mountain. Ashan, smoke. The mountain was smoking. Noga, light. Esh, fire. Lahava, flame. Kol kavod, every honor. Wachupa, is that the honor of Hashem will rest over every canopy in the Garden of Eden. And finally, chupa will encompass all of them, the canopy. So you're right. It's very, very nice. It does sound a lot like Matan Torah. Not a lot like. It is the epitome of description of Matan Torah. So perhaps we learn from there that according to how much I live by and accept Torah, how much of Torah I build as a chuppah over myself in this world, that will be my chuppah in the next world. That's also so I'll tell you, I just heard an unbelievable pshat. Hashem tzilcha yad minecha shir l'malso sanai al har manuvel esri esri mirim Hashem. I lift my eyes to the mountains from where my help come. My help will come from God. If you go through the kapitel, which is well known to many, one of the things we say is Hashem tzilcha yad minecha. Hashem is your shade on your right hand. So I heard of Shai Shech, I don't remember. I think it might be the Baal Shem Tov. He was quoting somebody. I don't exactly remember who he quoted. But he was definitely quoting somebody. And he said it might be the Baal Shem Tov. Doesn't mean Hashem tzilcha ad yad yiminecha, Hashem is your shade. So we usually translate it to mean I'm in the shade or I'm in the protection of Hashem. That's our typical understanding. Rav Shachter said, quoting whoever he was quoting, that shade mimics your movement and not the other way around. You don't mimic shade's movement. Shade, your shadow, mimics what you do. So if you lift your arm, what happens? The shadow lifts its arm. If you go like this, the shadow goes like this. If you swing your arms, the shadow swings its arms. The shadow mimics you. What does it mean, Hashem Tzilcha? Hashem is your shadow or your shade. What do you think that means?
Depending how a person is, that's how Hashem is to that person.
Exactly. Say it again.
Depending how a person is, that's how Hashem is.
The way you act and the way you treat others is how Hashem acts and treats you. If you go like this, Hashem goes like that. If you go like this, Hashem goes like that. If you, whatever you do, Hashem will mimic that. So perhaps we can apply that. It's very sobering. It's in essence, b'midah she'adam modedin lo. The way in which you measure others, so you will be measured. Hashem tzircha, Hashem is your shade. But perhaps based on additionally what Malki added, which is really very, very insightful, the canopy that I have will resemble the chuppah of Matan Torah. Mamish resemble the chuppah of Matan Torah. So what kind of chuppah is it going to be in Matan Torah? Depending on my dveikus to Torah down here, that is what the chuppah up there will look like. And that's the eternal world. That's where I'm always going to be. This is transient. I'm here for a few short years. Ki alaf shanim be'enecha kiyom esma. 1,000 years in your eyes, God, the kapitel tzadi, are like yesterday, but one day. Melami, continues the Gemara, Malki, beautiful. Shekal achad ve'achad osolo kosh baruch chupa lefi kvodo. To teach you, I'm still in the Gemara, that Hashem makes each and every person a canopy according to his own honor. Ashan b'chupalama, why is there smoke in the canopy? So the Gemara says, Shekal misha einav tsaros b'talmidei chachamim b'olam haza. Whoever has einav tsaros, it's translated as a stingy eye, a negative eye, tsaros ayin. A stinginess of eye towards talmidei chachamim in this world, mismalos einan ashan l'olam haba. His eyes will be filled with smoke in the next world. That is very sobering and telling, because all too often, sometimes, especially in this day and age of online networking and connection, where everybody has an opinion and everybody feels they have a right to give a voice and everyone wants to be critical of everybody else, so often people disparage Talmidei Chachamim. So often people lack respect for Rabbanim. They come home, they make fun of what the drasha was, they make fun of this one, they make fun of that one. I just saw, I didn't even read it. But apparently, it was my father took my boys to the YU Sfarim sale. I usually go every year. It's like my favorite place of the year, one of. But I couldn't get there this year, so they brought me home a couple of new Haggadahs, whatever. So they picked up the YU publication paper, right?
The YU commentator.
Okay, the YU commentator. So apparently, there's some controversy now, because one of the YU Russia yeshivas stood up, and he said something about...
there was going to be a co-ed Shabbaton on the Wilk campus.
So this specific Rosh Hashiva got up and gave his opinion on a co-ed Shabbaton. I just skimmed the articles and then I didn't continue to read it. A lot of voices very vocally opposed what he said. There was a lot of anger, there was a lot of dissent, there was a lot of criticism, and there were some letters to the editor saying, what right do we have to be disparaging and denigrating a Talmud Chacham and a Rosh Hashiva? This is very applicable with the Gemara. That's just one example. If you go onto blogs today, I mean, people are constantly screaming about other people. I mean, who am I to be? I don't have my own problems. I don't have my own problems with Hashem Tzilcha. I need to be worried about the next guy. And today, with online and WhatsApp and chat groups, it's out of control. Shekal mi she'enav tzaros v'talmidei chachamim ba'olam hazeh, mismalos einan ashan l'olam haba. Whoever has a stingy eye towards talmidei chachamim in this world, his eyes will be filled with smoke in the next world. I need to keep in mind. You don't understand something the Rav said, so you could try and ask for clarification. We have something called Das Torah. Doesn't mean I have any business going around town or going around the internet or going around WhatsApp sending about negative messages. What do I know? An Amma Aretz compared to Talmud Chacham? What do I know? So that's why there'll be smoke in the chuppah. Ve'esh b'chuppah lama. Why will there be fire in your canopy in Olam Haba? Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says, Melami. Now this is the line that our Sefer just quoted. She'kol echad ve'echad nichva mechupaso shel chavero. Each and every one will be burned by his fellow's canopy. Why will we be burned by the canopy of our fellow? Excuse me, when a lesser tzaddik will see the more splendid, the Rashbam explains, when a lesser tzaddik will see the more splendid canopy, according to the greater tzaddik, he will burn with shame. The lesser tzaddik, Mesilas Yesharim, and our author is quoting Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim explains, the lesser tzaddik will feel embarrassed and disgraced by the fact that he didn't achieve a higher rank, when in fact he could have attained it. The Marashah explains, the Gemara says, everybody will be burned by some degree of shame, because everybody will see somebody who's greater than them. So the smoke will fill the eyes of those who mocked and had stingy eye towards Talmidei Chachamim in this world, and the fire will be the burning of shame in the next world, when we see how beautiful is the canopy of his friend. Oy lo la oso busha, oy la la oso klima. Woe for such a shame, and woe for such a disgrace. It will be more embarrassing than any embarrassment we could imagine in this world will be the embarrassment in the next world. Yes?
I'm saying the only thing when you learn Sfarim,
wait, you have to talk louder.
You're not supposed to be jealous of anybody. It's part of the Aseret Dibros. You should... Right? I forgot what it's
called. Except for the Mida being jealous and ruthless.
So actually, the fire should work in this world too, because if we're jealous of someone that reached a certain level, maybe that will give us the impetus to try to improve and look what he's become. That doesn't mean I could become that, but I certainly could improve myself.
Yes, but this is in the Olama Emes. Once I can't become anything
later,
anymore.
I know, then it's too late.
Then yeah. I say, why didn't I become what I could have become?
Well. That's what I'm saying. The fire would be nice to have.
Are you guys lost at the end with the pages?
Yeah.
We're on page 157 of the second Sefer.
And you were saying last week that the quote is from Baba Basra, or it's misquoted on the bottom?
Could you please say
the footnote.
Is footnote. It Baba Basra, it's a footnote on the bottom of page 157.
Yeah, you're reading from the Gemara.
Right.
It sounds like you
recorded. That was footnote four. Okay. Okay, let's go. So each person will be singed, consumed with jealousy. Come, ladies, when he compares his canopy with his fellows. Everybody's going to find someone who's better. So it's why you said it's true. If I strived my best and I really worked at it and I didn't turn away chasadim and I tried in tefillah and I tried in learning and I tried in tilm and I tried with patience, so I tried belamaisa. Sometimes we don't try as hard as we possibly can. And I've been repeating this in a number of shiurim, but it's worth it to say it now. When Mordechai says to Queen Esther, Parak Dalet, Pasuk Gedal, chapter 4, verse 14 of the Megillah, Esther doesn't want to go to the king. Everybody knows if you go to the king, when you're not called, what's going to happen to you? He's going to kill you. What did he do to the first queen he didn't like? He killed her. I'm not going. Mordechai says, you're going. Well, he doesn't say that, but he encourages her to go. And he says, Ki macharesh tacharishi ba'es hazos, ravach v'hatzala ya'amod la'yehudi mimakom achar, uba'at ubeis avich tovedu, umiyodei im le'ek hazod, he got the malchus. Mordechai says to her, if you persist in your silence at this time, deliverance and salvation will come to the Jews from another place. You and your father's house will perish, and who knows if for a time like this you were called to royalty. So the Medrash, were you able to listen to Parashat? The Medrash says, what does Hacharesh Tacharishi actually mean?
Quiet.
What?
Quiet.
That's not what it literally means. No. Ki im Hacharesh, im Hacharesh Tacharishi.
If you will remain quiet.
So you're getting there. If you're quiet now, Tacharishi actually means you will be quiet. Think. We translate it as it's a double lashon, so it's a strengthening of, if you're quiet, you will surely be quiet, if you persist in your silence. But that's not the literal translation. The literal translation is, im hacharesh, if you're silent now, tacharishi, you will be silent.
You will be silenced.
Okay. It's really, you will be silenced. So the Medrash says, Rabbi, I could actually quote the exact lashon, but since that happened one time, I'm afraid to go to any other page on my phone besides for the recorder, because it's on my phone, but I'm afraid to get it. But the Medrash says, this is what the Medrash says, Medrash asked the Rabbi, the Medrash says, Im hacha resh, if you are silent now, shelo lelameit sanagoria al umaseich, you do not rise to the defense of your people, tacha rishi, you will be silent la asid lavo. The Medrash says, in the future. In which future? The same future we're talking about. In the eternal world of truth. You could have acted l'tova alumaseich. You could have done good for your nation. You will have no answer when you are asked in the Olam HaEmes why you did not act when you could have acted. If you want the exact lashon of the Medrash, you are welcome to email me and I will send it to you, but I'm afraid to go there now. This is a quote from Medrash Esther Rabbah. If you're silent now, you will be silenced in the future. Oy lanu liyam adin, oy lanu liyam tochacha. Lo yachlu achav la'anos oso. What happens to the brothers when they're faced with Yosef? Stunned into silence. And Chazal say, based on that, that's what's going to happen to us in the Olam HaEmes. So yes, we're talking going to have a lot of nice degree of embarrassment and shame when we go up there and we see what our canopy could have been like had I tried a little bit better. Who do we learn that from? Esther Malka. Continues the Medrash, Mordechai said to her, you think somebody, God will abandon his people? God's going to save us. Malcolm Acher. But your opportunity to speak up, your opportunity to help your nation, your opportunity to take action when you could have taken action will be lost. That will determine the degree of our canopy in the next world. This is a deep comment, but the basic idea is that one is not willing to take a lowly position in Gan Eden. So look at that. You think you want a lowly position? You want to be in the nosebleed section? You want to be in the bleachers? You worked your whole life to get to the next world. Then you get to the next world, and they're going to say, let me have your ticket. And where's your ticket? They're going to say, oh, you're all the way up there. You need binoculars to see the yeshiva in the front. I need binoculars. I spent 120 years working to spend eternity all the way in the bleachers. I'm talking to myself. Oy lanu liyam hadin. Oy lanu liyam tochacha. What am I going to say then when it's too late? Then I'm going to be burned by fire in the camp. Why didn't I take action? That's what Mordechai said. That says the Medrashim. Hachareish, tacharishi. If you don't do the job now, it's going to be too late and you won't have an answer. The basic idea is that one is not willing to take a lowly position in Gan Eden. I don't want to be stuck in the bleachers for eternity. That's where I want to be. You can't see. You need binoculars to see the dais. You need speakers to hear the Torah. Thus, the second level of fear involves the fear of sin and imperfection in one's service of Hashem, because he is concerned about his spot in the next world in relation to other tzaddikim, as we just saw in the Gemara. Now, I'm quoting from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. Nobody should think that I mean that Rav Aaron Leib is on this level. But reading this passage about position in the next world reminded me of a vignette of Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha. I do not mean to imply, I'm saying this very clearly, that he was on this degree of Yira Shamayim, because we're talking about a Gaon and a Gadol who held up the world. But this did remind me of the following about Rav Steinman. One second, please. Here we go. Waiting outside his grandfather's room one day, Rav Avram Yishai Steinman heard his grandfather, Rav Aaron Leib, talking agitatedly to himself. Oi, oi, listen to this. The embarrassment I will face after I pass from this world and I live to see my father, meaning in the next world. I will be so ashamed I didn't live up to his expectations of me, which really touches upon what you said in the beginning of Shir. He was worried about his position in the next world vis-a-vis his father. I'm going to come up there. My father's going to see me. I didn't live up to his expectations. After seeing my illustrious parents who were murdered by the Nazis while sanctifying Hashem's name, I will ask to see some of the Gedolei Hadar from whose Sfarim I merited to learn. I will ask to see the Chavetz Chaim. I will ask to see Rabbi Akiva Eger. I'll be excited to see them. I will discuss some of their Chidushei Torah, which I studied while I was alive. It's hard to even read this. Can you imagine the embarrassment I will feel over how little I accomplished during my sojourn in this world? When they will begin learning Talmud Yerushalmi, I will be very ashamed. I learned it for many years during Bein Hazmanim, but I don't know it well enough. And when we start learning in the Yeshiva Shamal, I will be very ashamed. So you can see why the passage that we're learning in our Sefer brought this vignette of Rav Steinman to mind. In no way do I mean to imply that Rav Steinman was on a low level of Yerushalmi. Rav Gedalia Honigsberg related that before their 4 a.m. daily learning session, he would hear Rav Aaron Leib in his room talking to himself. Are you a sinner? What are you going to answer to the Beisdin Shamala? These are all ideas of what we are talking about, the idea of what will happen in the next world. What taka will I answer? I don't know what I'm going to say. My Yetzer Hara was strong. I was weak. What am I going to say? I was upset about nothing. I focused on the little things. 7 years before his patira, his grandson saw him crying uncontrollably during his brief two-hour rest. Saba, is everything all right? Saba, should I call the doctor? Rav Aaron Leib replied, I'm concerned I'm forgetting my learning. What will happen when I go to the Beis Din Shamala? I will have forgotten a significant portion of my learning. Saba, last week we learned Bava Kama. You knew every Tosfos better than I did. Let's review all the Gemara Tosfos. I'll prove to you there's nothing to worry about. One more. 1 year shortly after, what did he say? Did someone say? Oh, 1 year shortly after Pesach, Rav Aaron Leib was in bed talking aloud to Hashem. Hashem, please listen to me. Rosh Hashanah is approaching. Saba, said Rav Gedalia Honigsberg, Rosh Hashanah is not approaching. The last few months flew by so quickly, said Rav Aaron Leib. So too the time now to Rosh Hashanah will elapse quickly. I really must start doing teshuvah. And finally, their granddaughter related that the most frequently heard word in her grandparents' home was upstairs. How will this be viewed upstairs, they always said. From early in the morning till late at night, they were looking to send as many merits on mitzvahs to upstairs and their future dwelling. I think it's very relevant to what we are learning, keeping in mind for the third time, I'm not meaning to imply anything lower than godless and gaonus of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman's level. But there is, for tzaddikim, a very real fear and yira, an understanding, a reality of the next world. How will this be viewed upstairs? The third level, explained by the Mesillas Yesharim, in the chapter dealing with watchfulness, is yiras hashlemus. So shlemus is shalem, shlemus is shalom, pi shalem, Shleimus is wholeness or completion. From the word peace, because when someone has peace, they are whole or complete. When a nation has peace, it is whole and complete. And shalom and shleimus are the same word. Fear due to perfection. Shleimus, completion, wholesomeness. This level is for those of sound wisdom who seek true perfection. Shleimus is basically the same as closeness to Hashem. So if you are shalem, by the way, one of the names of Hashem is, the Gemara says, shalom. One of the names for Hashem is shalom, and it is that same root. So yes, shalom is peace, but forget translating it out of Lashon HaKodesh into English. Shin Lamed Mem is shleimus, and Shin Lamed Mem is shalom. Whereas Avera transgression involves becoming distant from Him. So I need to talk now about this sentence. If you see, I underlined it in my own notes. This is a very important concept. I hope everyone knows where I am. I am in the last paragraph of page 157. I want you to look inside once again, because I'm now going to be commenting on the thought process that the Mechaber just brought up. Ready? Third level, Yiras Hashleimus, fear due to perfection or completion or wholesomeness. This level is for those of sound wisdom who seek true perfection. Shalem, Shalom, Shleimus. Shleimus, perfection, wholesomeness, completion is basically the same as closeness to God. So this would be like math. Shleimut or Shleimus or wholesomeness equals wholeness. I keep saying wholesomeness. I mean, wholesomeness is tmimus. I mean whole, to be whole, equals closeness to God. Avera, transgression, is being distanced from God. This is a very, very important concept. I don't know if we have said it in this class at some point over the years. I think that we must have. The greatest consequence to sin is the distance it puts between man and God. The greatest consequence to sin is the distance it puts between man and God. The greatest consequence of sin is not my shame. The greatest consequence of sin is not what I did to the other person. The greatest consequence of sin is not I will lose money. Avera, transgression, involves becoming distanced from God. We see that right back in the very beginning of creation. In the beginning of creation, in Perak Gimel of Bereishis, after Adam and Isha, Ephraim, the Eitz Hadas, the Pasuk says they heard the voice of Hashem, God, walking in the garden by the wind of the day, and Adam and his wife hide because they're embarrassed. Okay? So what does it mean they're taking a walk in the garden? What a bizarre, seemingly strange statement. Hashem is taking a walk in the garden. So what does it mean? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says Hashem was presenting himself to Adam and his wife to do teshuva, repent. From Salvation quotes the Medrash, and the Medrash says that when Hashem created the world, it was supposed to be Iker Shechina Batachtonim. The main presence of God would dwell in this world amongst men. But as a result of sin, exactly correct. What does it mean? Vayishmu Askol Hashem Elokim Mitaleich Beganur Chodom. Hashem is taking a walk in the garden. He's leaving. As a result of sin, the Ribbono Shel Olam is leaving. It was supposed to be Allah b'machshava, supposed to be Hashem created this world. Man would be perfect. He'll dwell forever in the Garden of Eden. It'll be man and God together. Ikar Shechina b'tachtonim. How would you translate Ikar Shechina? The main dwelling of the divine presence will be down here in this world. After sin, Hashem cannot tolerate sin.
So the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash became his place.
Beautiful. Very, very nice. That's the end of the var. Beautiful. But there's many things before that. That's the end, but that's beautiful. One second. So what does it mean that they hear Hashem walking in the garden? Ikar Shechina Ba'al Yonim. Hashem is saying, I can't be here because of Aveira. The greatest consequence of sin, which is something that I say often, and here I came across it. Mamish, a paraphrase of my Lashon. My Lashon is the greatest consequence of sin is the distance it puts between man and God. And that's really what he says. Aveira involves becoming distant from Hashem. We see it also in Perek Yirchas of Bereishis. Interesting, of David Holzer. Very interesting pshat. Atitzchak Sar Bekirba. Atomer Achori Belosi Haisuli Adnava Adoni Zakein. Sarah laughed at her insides and she says, after I am withered and my husband is old, I will become youthful again. God says, why did she laugh? Avram says, why did you laugh? She says, I didn't laugh. I was afraid. The Ramban, Nachmanides, I'm in Perikid Chesed Bereishis, ladies. When Sarah's told at the age of almost 90 that she will have a child, and her reaction is laughter. Rashi and Unkos both explain that when Avram laughed in Perikid Zion, it was laughter from happiness. Sarah's laughter was laughter from disbelief. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says, what was the appropriate reaction? You know, these three dusty nomadic Arabs show up with the dust of Avodah Zarah on their feet, and they tell these very old people, you're going to have a baby. So Sarah laughed. I mean, what should you do? Would you believe them? So the Ramban says, by the way, I want you all to listen to something. The Ramban says, and you could look it up, the Ramban says the appropriate answer to a bracha, no matter who it's from, is, yeah?
Amen.
Not only. Not only. Amen, Kain, Ya'aseh Hashem. That's the Lashon of the Ramban. You're welcome to look it up. It's in Bereishis Yirches when Sarah laughs. Listen again. And it's a Musar Haskam for us, by the way. It's a lesson. Because you're constantly being told things by people. So, it's never going to happen. You know the Ramban says, if three dusty nomadic Arabs show up at your house and you're 89 and you've been infertile your whole life and they tell you you're going to have a child, you should not laugh, says Ramban. You know what you should say? Wow, that's a gishmak bar. You should say, Amen, Kain, Ya'aseh, Hashem. Amen, so Hashem will do. That's the appropriate answer to a blessing. Even from nobody. That's what the Ramban says. So Sarah laughed. So on some level, Rashi, Unkos, the Ramban, it's very hard to say this. On some level, there's some degree of disbelief in Sarah's reaction. Talking about Sarah Yiminu. On some level. The immediate next words, Vatechachesh Sarah, Atomer lo tzachakti ki areya, Vayomer lo tzachakt. Sarah says, I didn't laugh. She was afraid. Avram says, you did laugh. You know what the immediate next words are? Does anyone remember by chance? Vayakumu misham ha'anashim vayashkifu al pnei Sodom. The men get up and leave and they gaze towards Sodom. Which men are we talking about? Who leaves?
Malachim.
What?
Malachim.
The Malachim leave. The Malachim are representatives of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What just happened here? On some level, and it's very hard to say this, but on some level, there is some denial, on some level, of the brach of Hashem. The Malachim are representatives of Hashem. What did we say is the greatest consequence in this case of some degree of denial? Vayakumu misham anashim. Vayishmas kol Hashem elokim esaleich began. What do the angels do? As soon as Sarah is some doubt on some level and doesn't say Amen Kein Yaseh Hashem, what do the angels do? They leave. Why? Because in the presence of, when we're talking about Sarah, but let's apply it to us. So what's the greatest consequence of sin? All these things that we're afraid of, our reputation, our relationships, our money, our jobs, what's the greatest consequence to any sin that we do? Ribbono Shel Olam can't be there anymore. So, by Matan Torah, we brought him back. You mentioned the Mishkan, but I said you have a ways to go before the Mishkan. By Matan Torah, we brought Iker Shechina back to Tachtonim. Hashem, down here. For by Eiga Hazav, what happens? Iker Shechina Bal Yonim, I'm out of here. What happens by Mishkan? Bring Hashem back down. Whereas Aveira involves becoming distant from Hashem. But we don't live with this reality. I'm talking to myself. I don't live with this reality. I forget.
When they did the Ohel Moed before the Mishkan.
That was already the representative of the tent of meeting that will be.
Right.
For the nation, he came down as a whole once the Mishkan was constructed.
Right.
By the Ohel Moed, he spoke to Moshe. I'm not talking about individual pockets of Hashgacha Pratis. Okay? On this level will fear sin because it creates a distance and a barrier between him and his creator. So why do I fear sin? Because of all the other reasons or what it does to me, or because the one I'm supposed to love the most is distant? How do you feel if somebody that you love is angry at you, chas v'shalom, and distant from you? How do you feel? Terrible, upset, anguished. What did I do to that person? How can I make amends? How could I fix the relationship? How could I not have a friendship or a family relationship or whatever it is? You feel such a degree of agmas nefesh. So if we really related to Ribbono Shel Olam as Avinu in the highest degree of Amunah, that's how we would feel. Every time we did an Avera, we would be sick. Sick! In summary, The first three stages of yira, of fear, of reverence, are top of page 158. Mm-hmm. Fear of punishment. We spoke about that last week, whether in this world or the next. Fear that one might not attain sufficient honor in Gan Eden. We spoke about that this evening. Fear that one might not attain full dvekas, clinging. How do you translate dvekas? Lidavek, to cling to the Creator. We just spoke about that. These three levels are defined in Mesillas Yesharim as a voda for one's own sake. Ha! You see? That is defined as a voda for who? Myself. One does not really fear for Hashem's sake, out of concern for His honor, or because I want to please the Creator, but I might be lacking. Maybe I will suffer chas v'shalom, maybe one will lose honor, maybe I'll miss out on closest to Hashem. The common denominator is that the person places himself in the center. This is very powerful. Yes? You're saying something? This is very powerful and impactful, especially relevant to our generation. Our generation is so eye-focused. And I know it sounds so cliche, but it's true. We have the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod. What else do they have? They have iWatch. What do they call it? Apple Watch? iWatch? Apple. So you can never, ever now, if you wear it on your wrist, you can almost never get away from your messages. It's like being shackled. It's like being shackled. Now you could never get away from it. You could never put away your phone. 1 second, during dinner. What do? During family dinner? Mm. You put away your watch. You say, now I'm taking off my watch. Mm. It's very hard. I want, I need, I have, iPad, I am, iPod, I feel, I deserve. That's a big one, I deserve. Chamalevitz was to say, and that was back in the day, never mind now, when everybody feels a sense of entitlement. Lo magi alachem klum, she would say. You know what that means? You deserve nothing. Whatever you get is a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. I deserve, I need, I feel, I want, I miss Hashem, I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, I'm going to be so embarrassed, I think it's a shanda down here with my neighbor, wait till I get up there and I see his mansion next to my little hut. And I'm really going to be embarrassed. Everything should not always be about me. And it's very hard. In the day and age in which we live, there is such a sense of entitlement. You know, it's funny because we talk about little children, like really little children, being egocentric. But that's normal process of development. So why are they screaming? I mean, the kid's not going to starve if you have to wait 20 minutes for food. Like, I'm talking about the baby. If the baby's well fed. So why is the child screaming like it's the end of the world? Because all the child knows when the person is egocentric is, I need to be changed right now. I need to eat right now. I need mommy to hold me right now. I can't share my toys. That's another thing. They are mine when you tell the child, little child to share. Because a child at that age, everything revolves around that child. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I need to be changed. I need to be called. They're my toys. I can't share. We are supposed to grow out of that as we grow older. We live in a society, I think, that reinforces the concept of Baruch Hashem. I don't mean from society, which is chesed based and which is based on doing for others. We're coming up to Purim. The mitzvahs of the day, Mishloach Manos and Matanos Le'Avyonim, involve doing for others. But society as a whole, even like selfies, like I forget where I read it, who would think we would live in the day and age where people would be taking pictures of themselves and sending it around to other people? And we really are very eye-focused. The common denominator is the person places himself in the center. We live in a world where people place themselves in the center. I don't even want to talk about it or say it, but politicians, the whole world revolves around that politician. I don't want to discuss it anymore. It's sickening. The whole world revolves around them. So have we really outgrown the stage of the little child who's screaming right now for food because they need to eat right now, because they can't wait, because I need it right now? That's the antithesis of Yahadus. Yahadus is a religion of patience. You want Shabbos? Well, you have to wait. You want a child to have a name in the Bris Milah? Well, you have to wait. You want a husband and wife to be together? Well, guess what? You have to wait. You want Mashiach? You have to wait. You want to eat milchik, but you had fleshik for supper? You have to wait. Think about that. We're time-bound people who are trained to be a patient people. There's no such thing as instantaneous results in our religion. It does not happen. That's not the way it works. Avodas Hashem is a process. I have to work. I have to spend years trying to attain my goal. The ultimate patience that we are trained to learn or to internalize is the waiting for Mashiach. Salvechuk says that was the Mida of Tamar, excuse me, Parak Lamed Chesed Bereishis, who seduced Yehuda unbeknownst to him, was his daughter-in-law, Yibam, Chalitza, the whole thing. There was no chalitza, there was Yibam. But she had relations. Baruch Soloveitchik says, what did she epitomize that Knesset Yisrael needed? Like, why could a Mashiach come from a little bit more noble background, roots? Really? Tamar and Yehuda, she's dressed like a Zona. She sits at the crossroad. I mean, it's Pasha Psha. You could go open it up and look at the Chumash inside. So the Rav says, what Mida did she embody that Knesset Yisrael needs to embody? Patience. How so? Her first husband died. Her second husband died. Her father says, go sit in your father's house in your big day al-Manusa al-Ki Yigdal Sheila. He had no intention of giving her Sheila. Or the third son's going to die. And she waited, and she waited, and she waited, and she waited. She was the epitome of patience. And says the Rav, is that not the epitome of Knesset Yisrael, who has waited for the millennia for our Savior? She waited and waited and waited for you. And she never gave up. And Rav Soloveitchik says that is an integral Mida that we need to learn to internalize. We need to wait for redemption. We need to wait to be together with our husbands. We need to wait to eat Milchek. I want it now. Too bad you can't have it now. Why not? And if everything's about me, I need, I want, I have, I feel, then I don't want to wait for anything. Society today teaches us not to wait for anything. I've said it many times. If the WhatsApp check marks don't turn blue like within a couple of minutes, you think it's like the end of the world. Where could the person possibly be that they did not read my WhatsApp? And if I don't get a response within a couple of hours, how could I not have gotten a response in a few hours? Where are you? One Friday, I decided recently, I'm not checking my phone for 2.5 hours. And I didn't. I put away, I didn't check it. And when I went back to check it, this one's where are you? And that one's where are you? And are you checking your iMessages? And I need you. So I understand. I have a hearing glass. This has changed the world for many people. And it makes things very convenient. And there are many, many benefits. And I'm not saying that anyone should put it away. It's not the world in which we live in. It's not practical. But we also understand that it's an eye-focused generation. It's an eye-focused world. And in some ways, in our day and age, adults have not gotten over the baby who is screaming to be fed right now. The common denominator is that a person and places himself in the center. What will my canopy look like in the eternal world of truth? What will happen to my job if I do an Aveira? What will happen to my reputation? I'm not afraid of sin. I'm just afraid for myself. And that's the wrong motivation. Keep in mind, I said last week, I said it this week, at least I'm not sinning. Halavai, I should have that motivation not to sin. I should be so worried about myself that I don't sin. But there has to be a higher level. The higher level is the awareness of what? What does Paro say when Moshe appears on the scene? Shemos 5:2. Moshe says, free the Jews. What's the first thing Pharaoh says? Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. L'shalach es Yisrael lo yadati es Hashem v'gam es Yisrael lo shalech. Who is God that I shall listen to? Him. I don't know him. I'm not listening. Above these three levels, let's just do, let's see if we could do one more paragraph. Above these three levels are two higher ones. Yiras ha-romemus, romemus, fear due to Hashem's greatness, and yiras ha-chet, true fear of sin, which a person must spend a lifetime, I don't know if I'll ever acquire such a thing, true mamish fear of sin, like we explained last week, based on our salvation, not fear of anything else. God said, don't do this, and therefore I'm terrified. I don't want to do it for the only reason that Hashem said no. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in his Mesiras Yesharim, explains yira, fear, due to God's greatness, means a person is cognizant of Hashem's greatness and exaltedness. He is fearful he might not be behaving properly before Hashem. This concern is only present when he's engaged in some form of avodas Hashem. For example, you're only concerned of how you're acting or talking when the Rosh Hashiva is in the room, but if the Rosh Hashiva is not there, so I'm not concerned. I'm only concerned when that person who is great and exalted is present. Therefore, that fear is present if I'm engaged in avodas Hashem. So if I'm learning Torah, I know Hashem is right there. If I'm performing mitzvahs, I know Hashem is right there. If I'm davening, for example, I know Hashem is right there. So therefore, the Rosh Hashiva is watching. What is he going to say? But when I'm engaged in mundane matters, such as sleeping, eating, other things, doing laundry, cooking supper, where I don't perceive clearly that I'm involved with Hashem, the person will be calm. Hashem's not watching me. I'm going to end with the following vignette, which you may have heard. A rabbi told over the story. There was a certain Hasidic rebel who sent his Talmud said he's going on a business trip. And he said, the rabbi said, bring me back Cuban cigars. Are those the best cigars? I don't know if this is a true story or not, but it's a famous mashal with a famous nimshal. Bring me back Cuban cigars. So he travels and he goes to Cuba and he does his business and the Rebbe gave him a bracha and you should be successful. And on his way back, he remembers he didn't buy Cuban cigars from his Rebbe. So he made another stop at the next town or the next country on his way back and he brings cigars. So he goes back to the Rebbe after he comes back from his trip. So the Rebbe says, so how was your business? So he says, it was very good. How was your trip? It was good. He says, did you bring me anything? He says, yes, Rebbe, I'm so sorry. I forgot to bring you Cuban cigars, but in the next country on my way back, I remembered you wanted cigars. I brought you cigars. So Rebbe said to him, I didn't want cigars. I want cigars from Cuba and I don't want cigars from the other country. I don't want cigars though. I wanted to know if you were away from me, did you remember your Rebbe? That's why I asked for cigars. So when Yeshiva D'Archei Torah sends home that mashal, they write at the end, they have a concept called keep your Rebbe in your pocket. So lahavdil vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, when am I cognizant of God? When I'm serving Him, when I'm davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when I'm copping Achei, then I remember the Ribbono Shel Olam. What about all the other times? And what am I really afraid of? Am I afraid of myself? For myself? I'm afraid of God. So we should all have a chodesh asher nahapach lehem miyagon l'simcha me'eva l'yom tov. It should be a chodesh of simcha and besoros tovas for all of Klal Yisrael.